Hello, welcome to the program. Millions of Muslim pilgrims throughout the world go to Saudi Arabia for Hajj. It's a huge spiritual event, but for one person, it turned into a nightmare. He was arrested under a false pretext by an entity called the Committee of Promotion of Virtue and Prohibition of Vice and put into a crowded cell as big as 50 to 60 square meters with only one bathroom, not enough light, no place to sleep, and no blankets. He was harassed and humiliated, and worst of all, he was denied all his legal rights. Well, Mr. Yasser Khalili is the person that has experienced this ordeal. Mr. Khalili, can you tell me about the alleged crime you were charged with?
I'll get straight to the point. The report said I had raised my shoe right by the Prophet's tomb and insulted the Prophet. It said I was warned, but I ignored it and repeated this on Abu Bakr's tomb. I was warned again, and I impudently repeated this act on Omar's tomb too. Anyone in their right mind cannot accept this. As a verse in the Quran says, how is it possible for one to kill himself with his own hands? I told him to look at me. Do I look insane? Why should I do that? They told me, there is a witness saying you have. I replied, I also have two witnesses. If they have one witness, I have two. Mr. Jafari and Mr. Falla were my witnesses. But this was not written in my interrogation report. They said they didn't care about my witnesses.
What was your sentence?
Sheikh Judge said that I was sentenced to 5 months in prison and 150 lashes. Another Iranian was sentenced to 2 months in jail but was held for 3 months. It was really shocking. They came for inspection on Saturdays and I took him with me and I asked him why he was still in jail. Forget 1 month. Keeping you in prison for even one day more than your sentence was a violation of human rights. You can go see for yourself. I knew 8 or 9 people like that. There was an old Afghan who had come on Hajj. He said they had detained him without any reason and after 2 months he was tried and the judge had told him that he had done nothing and acquitted him. But he was still in jail for a year after his acquittal. He was freed 3 or 4 days before me. There were other cases where the people did not know what crime they were charged with. They are still in prison. There was a man from Syria sentenced to 3 months, but he was kept there for 6 months, 3 months longer, without any reason. The clergy in our caravan, Mr. Shirazi, had warned us about the general socio-political atmosphere in Saudi Arabia. He had told us to pay close attention there. For example, if someone argues with you, do not answer, because if you argue, they will take you away, whether you win the argument or lose it. There is a place in Paris Cemetery, there is a place underground that is notorious. If they want to harass someone, beat them or humiliate them or anything, they take them there. He gave us these warnings. Then we were given other warnings, such as we should not gather in groups, and that they say that gatherings is not allowed. If we want to open our prayer books and pray, they will harass us and not allow that. With such warnings, we got scared at first. We were careful about everything, where to go, where not to go. We did not talk with the Saudis at all. We did not want to get into any trouble. And then, since our caravan was a special caravan, all 140 pilgrims in our caravan were all clergies, and the Saudi government was aware that this caravan was a special one, and our hotel manager told us to be careful because the hotel is under surveillance. It's true we do not see anything outside, but they are aware that the caravan is a special one and that it's under surveillance. We had to be extremely careful. We were in a country that the tombs of the two caliphs were right beside the tomb of the Prophet, and they were very sensitive about that. We had to be extra careful, and we were aware of the general situation there.
Were you given a written document proving that you were arrested and imprisoned?
They didn't give me any kind of document. I did request a written verdict so that I could see what the judge had written and how I was convicted and with what reasoning. What was his evidence? For example, what law and what article in that law he had referred to, and to see if what's been written in the law pertained to my case. but they didn't give us a copy of the judgments. I saw that the Saudis were given a copy of their sentences. They brought it to them in jail, and it said that, for example, they were sentenced to this and that, but we were never served.
Were you mistreated because you were Iranian?
They treated us differently. They even said that Iranians were dogs. That's how offensive they were. Qasem Amri, the leader of the Shiites of Medina, was my cellmate, and I said that I wanted to take an oath on the Quran, and he said that the Saudis think of Iranians and Shiites as infidels and do not accept our oath. I wrote the judge that there is no difference between Shiites and Sunnis. I wrote him that there is a huge population of Sunnis living in Iran, and we have no problems with each other. We live together, Shiites and Sunnis marry each other, they work together. In Saudi Arabia, Shiites are not entitled to ownership rights. Shiites do not have any important jobs. If they are working, they are working with fear. There were about 7 to 8 soldiers that were Shiite but pretended to be Sunnis because they were scared. Is this the Islam you're talking about? I told him all Muslims are brothers. I wrote him, don't think of me as Sunni or Shiite. Think of me as a human being. All humans have some fundamental rights. We do not want to refer to each other as Shiite or Sunni. I am a human being, therefore I have a right.
How many days did it take from the day of your arrest until you were taken to a court for your trial?
38 days. I was arrested on July 27th and my trial was on September 3rd when I was taken to court.
Didn't the judge set bail?
Well, the procedure should be like that. I mean, after my arrest, they should have set bail and a kind of guarantee, and then they should have freed me on bail until my court date. Well, in our case, it was not like that. We were not even allowed any visitors.
Is raising a shoe actually a crime according to Saudi laws and regulations?
I've not studied Saudi law, but from the way the Saudi authorities acted when they read the charges against me, I could tell they were not familiar with such a charge. In my case, they had written raising of the shoes, and this caused a lot of confusion for the authorities dealing with my case. One high-ranking officer asked me the meaning of my charge, namely raising of the shoes. He didn't understand and asked me what I was accused of. It was clear that raising one's shoes is not a crime per se. It was clear there was no such crime and it was made up and tailored to fit my case. I was the first one arrested for such a crime. Raising your shoes is not a crime they take you to court for in Saudi Arabia.
Did the Saudi government assign you an attorney?
No, they didn't assign me a lawyer. I asked for one though, but they denied my request. This is a breach of international law and does not concern the breach of the laws of just one country, like Iran.
Were you tortured?
They had special shackles and handcuffs. They put it on your hands and feet so tightly. Apart from the physical pain, there was a lot of psychological pressure on me. They just wanted to humiliate me and make me feel cheap. When someone sees you in that condition, they won't ask if you're a criminal or not. The police pushed me with the shackles on my feet and I fell down and the metal cut my feet. And in addition to that, we were kept in a room about 50 to 60 square meters. There were 50 or 60 people with only one bathroom and not enough light. It stank. There was no place to sleep, with no blankets or mattresses. The hygiene was extremely poor. There was no drinking water. There was only hot water and they wanted to use the same water for different things. For example, we drank the same hot water that we showered with. It was a terrible experience drinking that water. Our Iranian friends tried to make things better, and they ordered food from the hotel next door to bring us 3 meals per day. But the authorities got the food and would not give it to us. When did I find out? Well, I found out later when I was able to call my Iranian friend without the Saudi authorities finding out. I used the cell phone of an Afghan prisoner who had somehow smuggled it into the prison. My friend asked and I answered, no. What food? The food? He said that we give the food to the prison authorities to give it to you. And I told him, no.
Were you whipped?
Yes, the judge had ordered for me to be whipped 150 times in public in the Prophet's shrine. But one day they came and took me to the yard in prison and whipped me there. Now, it's in their law that they should put a Quran under their arm when they whip. But not only did the man not put a Quran under his arm, he whipped me harder every time, and I pleaded to him not to hit me that hard. They hit me 150 times with the whip. I couldn't move for 2 days.
Did you have a chance to cross-examine the witnesses?
No, they didn't let me ask even one question of the witnesses. As soon as I sat down, the judge asked the translator to ask me if I had done what they said that I had done, and I said no. Then the judge immediately said, "The witnesses here say you have done that." The judge told me that there is a witness testifying that you have done this. I said, "No, I have not done that." He said again that the witness says that you have done what it says here. And he asked the judge if I could ask a couple of questions of the witness. And he said, no, they did not let me cross-examine the witness. I again asked the judge if I could only ask one question of the witness. I asked the judge to ask the witness about the color of the shoe I was accused of raising. I asked the judge to ask the witness about the color of what I was wearing. I'm sure he would not be able to answer any of those questions. The shoe was in my right hand, but they had written in their indictment that the shoe was in my left hand. They had written backwards. It was clear they had built a case out of nothing. I insisted that the witness should take an oath, but they didn't listen. I held a copy of the Holy Quran in my pocket. I took the Holy Book out of my pocket and told the judge that in verse number 282, God says there should be two male witnesses, and if there is only one, they should take an oath. They must take an oath. If he is one person and he is testifying, then I am one person too. Why don't you believe what I say? He should take an oath, and I will also take an oath. The judge had nothing to say, and he told me to be quiet. Then he told the guard to take me away. I was really shocked that we had just come to the court and the trial had barely started when the judge ordered that I be taken away. I saw the clerk of the court was writing. He told his clerk to write that the Iranian named Muhammad Yasser has committed this crime, and when the court interpreter was translating what the judge was saying, the judge told the clerk to write 5 months in prison and 150 whips. At the same time, the judge was still asking me questions, and the trial had not yet ended. After the witness testified and the judge did not let me talk, I asked for the representative of the Iranian embassy to be present at the court. I really insisted, but the judge did not accept. There was only me, the Afghan interpreter, the Wahhabi witness, the judge, and his clerk. What is so just about this court? I'm sure that I would be treated a lot better if I was born in a non-Muslim country. They only talk about Islam.
And can you tell me about your release?
They take a look at your case after it comes to the prison. Up to that point, it doesn't matter if you're a Saudi citizen or not. If there's a kind of pardon or something, then you're okay, and they will let you go. And if not, there is a bureau in that prison called the Pardon Bureau. They'll see the duration of your sentence and take into account other conditions and situations, and they will let you go a month or 15 days earlier if they see fit. I'm really thankful for what the Iranian consulate did for me.
Well, thank you, Mr. Khalili. Thank you for your time. Well, this was an extraordinary story about a pilgrimage gone wrong. Take care and goodbye.